Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Happy Friday here on WGR. Technically not in game week yet, but at this point now, the next time I'll be here, it'll be Monday, it'll be game day. Some schools will have half days. The Bills will take on the Tennessee Titans in their home opener to finish off week two. Well, them and the Eagles and Vikings game, they'll finish off week two of the NFL season. Welcome into the Nightcap. Zach Jones along with you for about the next hour or so. We're going to talk a little bit of football today. We had a football game last night, Thursday Night Football, the first Amazon Prime game. The Los Angeles Chargers took on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs won, but I think the major story that came out of the game is not breaking news anymore, but definitely news from just about two or so hours ago, and that is Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert, who it looked like he was in an incredible amount of pain last night when the game was finishing up. And, you know, he's going through, you know, shaking hands and very clearly not wanting the wind to touch the left side of his body, let alone a person. Head coach Brandon Staley did confirm he has a fractured rib cartilage. I would assume it's on that left side of his body. And, oh boy, that it's one of those injuries that is just going to make Herbert's life this season just a living hell. I think that's where I want to start tonight's show. We're going to talk a little bit about what this means for the Chargers season going forward, because we have a plethora of evidence, very recent as well, about what playing through an injury like, not unlike this, not necessarily an injury that'll keep you out, that you physically can't play the game of football, but more or less so, you're going to play the game of football and be in excruciating pain the entire time. That's where this injury kind of falls under. So we'll talk a little bit about that, where I see the Chargers season going. Do I think this, you know, this means abandon all hope, you know, abandon the ship, all that? No, I don't think so, but I definitely think it's going to be something to keep an eye on. And then we'll also jump into some week two games as well, and we'll finish off tonight's show. Bills head coach Sean McDermott met with the Extra Point Show, Sneaky Joe DiBiase and Sal Capaccio earlier this morning. We'll play that back for you. It's just about 10 minutes or so, but it's good to get a little bit of coach insight heading into the weekend, especially because the Bills injury report, while it was just a walkthrough today, it is the three same players over and over and over again, that being the defensive tackles Ed Oliver and Tim Settle and cornerback Dane Jackson. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well, and we'll play that probably to end the show tonight. But of course, starting off, Justin Herbert, the Chargers quarterback, fractured rib cartilage. What happens now? He looked in a lot of pain, and they didn't win last night. And, you know, partially that storyline, too, is Brandon Staley. What happened to the guy that, you know, so gung-ho about going for it on fourth down, going for touchdowns, don't kick field goals? What happened? Did the owner get in his head? Is it more the fact that he's probably coaching for his job this year? To me, that's kind of where I see it. I think there is a little bit of Staley sort of hearing the whispers behind him, the fact that he knows he has one of the most talented quarterbacks in all of football. He has one of the better rosters in all of football. You cannot miss the playoffs. You can't. You just simply cannot. You can make a real argument that Herbert is the best quarterback the Chargers franchise has had since Dan Fouts. And in three or four more years, he will surpass Dan Fouts as the best quarterback in Chargers history, at least in my opinion. I'm not the biggest Phillip Rivers fan, in case you hadn't realized that when I was talking about the Chargers. But now he has somewhat of a lingering injury. We saw this last year with Baker Mayfield, a torn labrum on his left shoulder. It was not his throwing shoulder, but he still had a torn labrum. And we saw what that did. Cleveland moved off of him, and he had one of his worst seasons ever, to the point where many fans in the NFL looked at him as completely unusable, that he was no longer a starting caliber quarterback. I still think Baker has his issues. We saw that week one, you know, his opening start with Carolina. Not that great. Threw a bad pick, had a great touchdown, ran for a touchdown. That's the Baker Mayfield experience for you. He'll put up some points. He'll also clearly should have put up more. But with Herbert, looking at the schedule, the next two games should absolutely be wins for the Chargers. It's not even that. They have to be wins for the Chargers. Jacksonville and at Houston. Those have to be wins. Your defense looks more improved to the point where yesterday, I think they should have had four or five interceptions just based off of drops from the DBs of the Chargers against Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes looked fine yesterday, but overall, he should have had a number of turnovers, not just, I want to say, the one pick he had. I don't even think he had a pick last night. I think Herbert did. So that defense is talented. Your Keenan Allen's going to get healthier. Mike Williams looks spectacular. And Austin Eckler is still Austin Eckler. Like, you have the talent to do this, but they need to win the next two games. I think they will, even with clearly Herbert being very much limited. I don't imagine we're going to see him run a ton. I think he is going to be very much, if he has to move, he'll get two or three extra yards and go right out of bounds. He is not going to be willing to take hits. We saw that last night. He made a great throw right afterwards, but it's an injury that he's just not going to want to take a beating. It will throw him off his game if he's getting hit too much. You can only numb it so much. So those are the next two games. Then you get at Cleveland. Jacoby Brissett, is still going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Got to win that game. Now all of a sudden you're looking at just one loss and you're 4-1. That's pretty good. That is pretty darn good. Then you get Denver at home. I still don't know about Denver. Denver's going to have to be a team, especially after that week one performance. Now there's, you know, a mic'd up of Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett on the sideline, basically saying that Russell Wilson's using the exact same hand motions that he used in Seattle, that he's changed nothing. So now, if your other teams, if you figured out Russell Wilson or you kind of know what they're doing, nothing has changed apparently in Denver. So that's another red flag on the whole Denver Russell Wilson experience. But I think you got to win that. But if you don't, it's all right. Take a breather, because you get Seattle and at Atlanta next. The Chargers schedule lines up really well. Don't get me wrong. They need Justin Herbert. But this is why the Chargers, to me, has always been that one team I was very worried about for the Bills with the one seed. Because, you know, they get the Chiefs, but then they go bang, 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 either crappy teams or teams that are rebuilding, or a team that their quarterback is suspended for half the season. Then they get Denver, and then they get two tanking teams in Seattle, Atlanta. Then they get San Francisco, Kansas City, Arizona, Las Vegas. Arizona, to me, that defense might be porous, so they might be able to throw all over the yard on that team. Vegas, they already beat Vegas once. They did struggle with them, but Carr had a bad game. That defense clearly owned him a little bit. And then they finish out the season, Miami, Tennessee, Indianapolis, the Rams, and Denver again. They've got to win this middle chunk of these games. They've got to win Houston, Jacksonville, Cleveland, Seattle, Atlanta. The Chargers last year lost very winnable games. And I can even argue, not even just winnable games, games that they absolutely should have won, that you look back, and it's not necessarily on the level of build.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jaguars, but it's enough to where you look at them and go, ooh, you can't do that. You have to be better than that. And so I do wonder if this is where we're now getting the Brandon Staley. If that this is what this has become. Because he is nervous at the potential of getting fired. They went 9-8 last year, but going through their schedule, they lost games against the New England Patriots, the Denver Broncos without Russell Wilson. They actually got whooped on in that game, 28-13. The Houston Texans demolished them, 41-29. And then, of course, we all know the Vegas game to end the year where they really just needed a tie to get in. But even earlier in the year, the Cowboys, they were clearly a better team than the Cowboys. The Ravens ran them out of the building, 34-6. But really what they've got to clean up is games like against the Denver Broncos and the New England Patriots. You've got to win, not even just the New England Patriots, the Houston Texans as well. You've got to clean those games up. There's no reason the Chargers were not a playoff team last year. There's just no reason. And honestly, they started last year 4-1. They start this season the exact same way, 1-1. They won week one, they lost week two. And then they went on a three-game winning streak. Then they lose to Baltimore by New England. And then it essentially just became lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win two, lose two, win one, lose one. And that's how you wind up 500. Obviously, that's not, I'm not explaining, physics here. But with this injury now, you have to win the easier games. Now, I get it's the NFL. Not every game is easy, or no game is easy, excuse me. But if they don't, then those tougher games now against Denver, really your entire division, San Francisco, Herbert is in a position where he is going to be limited. We as Bills fans also know this. Josh Allen in 2020 suffered an injury to his shoulder, or his non-throwing shoulder, against the Raiders, and he was not the same for 3 or 4 weeks while that healed. Herbert will likely have to deal with this the entire season. Trey Wingo joined Show with the Bulldog earlier today around 5:30, and even he said the recovery for this normally is 6 months. So ultimately, that's what you're looking at if you're a Chargers fan, is that the rest of the season, Herbert will not be feeling right. He will be in constant pain. And that one or two hits could really mess him up. So you've got to put away those teams so that, you know, when you play some of the tougher teams, you may not win, but you're surviving. Because you go as far as you as your quarterback in the NFL, especially in the modern day NFL, you go as far as your quarterback. I mean, look at Tennessee last year. They're the one seed, great. But the moment they get in the playoffs, when that dial gets turned up just that little bit more, your quarterback matters so, so much. And they couldn't do anything with it. They couldn't do anything. And they're out in the first round. Or, well, the first round they play, the divisional round. That's why fans and you know, Vegas is favoring the Bills so heavily. It's all about quarterback play. It's about what you do in the playoffs as a quarterback. It's why Mahomes and Allen will consistently be favored to win MVPs and win Super Bowls, is because that's when it matters. Herbert, we're still waiting for a playoff appearance. So while I don't love that Brandon Staley has changed his mindset, I do understand why, and it's only going to get harder now because Herbert is injured. And while, yes, he's day-to-day and he will likely play, ultimately you're looking at a very limited Herbert. There will be moments where he just cannot do what he normally can. And no NFL player is ever 100% healthy. Never. They're all dealing with something. A fractured rib cartilage, though, is something. That's something that will limit them. That is debilitating at times. And now I have worries with the Chargers long term. Not necessarily that, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. I still think they will. But if Staley is going to coach like that against the, you know, the premier quarterbacks in the NFL, like a Patrick Mahomes last night and a Josh Allen potentially in the playoffs, a Russell Wilson down the line in the division twice a year, you are going to lose more games than you win against those guys, and it likely won't be close either. The Chiefs offense did not play well yesterday. Again, Mahomes maybe should have had 3 or 4 interceptions. And if he did, maybe, you know, your strategy could have worked there. The whole, well, we punt because our defense is playing so great. But you have to punish those teams. You have to keep putting up points. You have to keep having them answer the bell. You have to. The Bills lost 13 seconds, but it wasn't for a lack of trying. They constantly put Kansas City in a position to lose the game if they didn't score a touchdown. It wasn't just field goals, touchdowns. Really up until the end of the game. If the Bills had the ball last, the Bills likely go to the AFC Championship game. Where the Chargers, well, yes, they only lost by 3, 27-24. It never felt like they were really threatening the Chiefs. The Chiefs always felt like they were going to crawl back in that game because Staley had all of a sudden gone soft. That all of a sudden this team that was so aggressive and so willing to put the pedal to the floor and their throat or and their foot to your throat. And now all of a sudden they got skittish. But I can understand again why Staley is doing that. Because I do think there is a fear with his job. Yes, it's only year two. You're not a rebuilding team. This is not a rebuild project. This is, we have one of the best young quarterbacks in all of football. We have a pretty darn good roster, and we added Khalil Mack to our defense. Go win us some playoff games. Go win a Super Bowl. He cannot miss the playoffs. I don't care who your division is. Some would say Mahomes is only even remotely being challenged by two other quarterbacks in the NFL. That's pretty much the standard. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are kind of on their own level, and then right behind them is Herbert. So you need to make the playoffs with that roster, because right now, the other two, Allen and Mahomes, are only thinking playoffs. And if we're, and you know, Bills fans, we know this, most of us are really just thinking one seed. And we're trying to enjoy the regular season, but really a lot of us are sitting here going, just how many wins do we need for the one seed? That's what I'm here for, because we're here for a Super Bowl. The Chargers aren't even there yet. They're still sitting here thinking, I need our first playoff experience. I need our first playoff berth. And they won't get there with playing like that, or with coaching like that, or the fact that their offense is very much predicated on Mike Williams' jump balls. It's not going to work. They need some sort of speed. They need some sort of separation ability. That's the devastating ability that Stephon Diggs has given the Bills and Gabe Davis, that both can go deep and really stretch a defense. It's the one thing really missing from the Chiefs' offense this year. They have nobody that can really break a defense open with their speed or just by stretching the defense. I think they'll eventually get Sky Moore used more, or they'll use Sky Moore more. Love that. But for right now, they're not, and Juju Smith-Schuster does not look like the Juju Smith-Schuster of years prior. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has always just been a very middling receiver that very much is here based off his physical abilities rather than what he actually can do on the field. The running game is okay. Clyde Edwards-Helaire seemingly played better in week one than week two. Isaiah Pacheco was a non-factor last night. So where do you go? Because ultimately, I left last night's game as a Bills fan not really terrified of either team. I thought I would leave last night's game sweating a little bit. Instead, I'm not at all. Instead, I look at the Chiefs and I wonder, man, if Trey White's back and everyone's healthy and we're kind of just cruising, I think we can stop that offensive, you know, scheme, that those offensive playmakers. The Bills didn't blitz once against Stafford and sacked him seven times. The Chiefs have a better O-line, but that's really the one thing, is don't blitz Mahomes. The Bills won't. They know they don't have to. And then on the defense with the Chiefs, there's not really anyone on the Chiefs defense that really scares me, especially with Tyrann Mathieu being gone. Chris Jones is probably that player, but the Bills dealt with Aaron Donald, and Aaron Donald's a significantly better player than Chris Jones. So with that, we look forward to week two. We'll look for through a few games here, probably the 1 o'clock window. We'll take a quick timeout and we'll go to the 4 o'clock window. But starting off, some of the games I want to watch, some of the bets I'm kind of looking for as well. We'll go through some of those. And that's just going to start off right away, Washington and the Lions. I think the Lions are definitely due for somewhat of a bounce back game. I thought they played really, really well against the Eagles in terms of just keeping up with them. They really did struggle, though, keeping Jalen Hurts from running. Hurts had 90 rushing yards. He had a touchdown as well. Really, the rushing attack as a whole was really devastating for the Lions. But they're able to keep up. I do worry, though, about Jared Goff, how far he can take this Lions team. It is a fun team. It is a team that a lot of people like. But I worry just how far he can actually take them. And I think that's going to be the limiting factors, that they're going to finish with 6-7 wins. And a lot of it will be, well, your quarterback is trash. On the flip side, at the other opponent, Washington. Carson Wentz played pretty darn well against Jacksonville in week one. 4 touchdowns, 2 terrible picks, but a win. And he had 2 dimes of deep balls, one to Jahan Dotson that ultimately won the game, and one earlier to Terry McLaurin. But I think this is going to be a bit of a bounce back game for the Lions. I just don't imagine Carson Wentz having 2 of those games in a row to have Washington start 2-0 this year. I think it'd be stunning if he did, because then you might get the feeling of, oh, is he back? And all of a sudden it now becomes the Cowboys aren't making the playoffs. Washington might be a surprise team to make the playoffs. But the Lions are about a 1.5 favorite here. It's too rich for my blood. I don't really favor either team that much here. I like the Lions to win, but not enough to actually jump in on it. Some other 1 o'clock games, and one that I'm willing to jump in on, and so are both Shope and Bulldog, and that's the Saints and Buccaneers. This is a game I'm absolutely going to keep up with. We do know Chris Godwin is out for the Buccaneers. Alvin Kamara is questionable for the Saints. That one is going to be interesting to keep up on, especially going into Sunday. But the Saints have just owned Tom Brady the moment he has stepped foot in Tampa. They're 4-0 against him. I like the Saints team. I talked about it right before the season started, that I thought the Saints team could be a surprise 10, 11 win team. And now we're starting to hear a lot of people really like them to even win the NFC South. I don't want to jump on that bandwagon just yet. I'm so skittish of Jameis Winston. I love watching him play, almost mainly because it's entertaining, right? But in part, that comes up to, well, he throws a lot of picks. He'll have great games. He'll have unbelievable moments. And he'll have absolutely terrible moments at the same time. He played well against the Atlanta Falcons. Almost 300 yards, 67 completion percentage, no picks, 2 touchdowns. And a lot of that came in the second half during their comeback. He played really, really, really well in that second half. And I think they can beat the Bucs here. It's at New Orleans. Right now, Tampa is a 2.5-point favorite. I absolutely would take the points there for New Orleans. I think they're going to win outright. And give me the points. I really, really like the Saints team. Even with Dennis Allen as the head coach, it's not Sean Payton. And so there is that different feel with the Saints. But if Alvin Kamara can even just be a little bit all right, we know Michael Thomas seems to be back. He caught Jameis Winston's 2 touchdowns last week against Atlanta. He looked to be somewhat back. It was just more, you know, using him in the red zone, which is great. But I can only imagine he's going to be used more and more as the season goes along. And then, of course, Mike brought up on Shipping the Bulldog as well earlier, Mike Evans is terrible against Marshon Lattimore, the cornerback for New Orleans, and he's going to be without Chris Godwin. And Tampa's O-line is still banged up, and I really, really like New Orleans' defensive line, led by Cameron Jordan. So I think they can get home a good bit of times to really, really frustrate Tom Brady, again, for the fifth time. But it would be surprising if he goes 0-5 against a team in a division since he's arrived at a team. But I think it can absolutely happen. So that's another one I'm looking for. The 1 o'clock game I just don't want to watch, but I know I'm going to keep up with, is going to be Patriots-Steelers. Look, I think both teams are going to be just almost punishing to watch. It's going to feel like it's personal that you're watching this, and it's like, I think someone's doing this to me on purpose. This cannot be the actual game. We do know Najee Harris is likely going to play for the Steelers, and as is Mac Jones for the Patriots. Those are two key elements for both those teams. The Steelers are, I would imagine, definitely going to want to run the ball. Mitch Trubisky did absolutely nothing for the Steelers offense. He's a fun story coming from Buffalo to go to the Steelers and earn a bit of a paycheck. But look, they drafted Kenny Pickett in the first round for a reason. I got to imagine, even with Mike Tomlin's comments, Kenny Pickett is going to start sooner rather than later. And I would imagine that's going to be within the next 5 weeks, because you cannot turn the ball over 5 times and still force overtime. That should never happen. You should have been blown out. And Mitch Trubisky moving that Steelers offense just didn't blow out the Cincinnati Bengals. They just couldn't do it. And a lot of that is just Mitch, just there's not enough there. There's just not enough there. I think he was overdrafted when he first came out to Chicago out of North Carolina. And it's really only been proven since he's been in the NFL. I will keep up with that. The Patriots right now are 2.5-point favorite. I actually do like the Patriots to win this game, mainly for the exact reason I just pointed out. The Steelers just offensively do absolutely zero. And with TJ Watt being out for the next 6 weeks, that defense is going to take a bit of a hit. And along with that, well, I think the Patriots are garbage. I don't think they're going to go 0-16 or 0-17. So I do imagine they can win this game. It is at Pittsburgh, so that could potentially swing it. But I also wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit of Kenny Pickett in this game if Mitch Trubisky just is not getting it going again. I think that is going to be a lingering thing in Mike Tomlin's head that, man, we had 5 turnovers and it took overtime to win. It's going to be something that I think lingers. One final 1 o'clock game, of course, it is the Dolphins and the Ravens. The Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite right now, as it's going to be in Baltimore. I don't know who I like in this game yet. I like the spread currently, but the Ravens just did nothing for me offensively when they took on the Jets. They won that game 24-9, and they never really looked comfortable. Lamar had 3 touchdown passes. But a lot of those had to come on big plays. Their running game never could get going. Where the Dolphins was kind of the same thing. They won their game 20-7, and it was like watching the same game. They could get nothing going offensively except for big plays, because their receivers are just flat out faster than most people or most teams have on their roster. I think this will be a low scoring game. The Ravens continue to just deal with injuries though, so that's going to be fascinating to see how that goes. But ultimately, I think I am going to take the better quarterback in this, so I'm going to take the Ravens. I'm not taking that 3.5, though. I think this could be a one-score game coming down to the wire, last-second field goal, or, you know, last-second drive kind of deal to win the game. But I'll take the Ravens there. I also, of course, like the Patriots to beat the Steelers, the Saints to beat the Buccaneers, and I'll take the Lions over the Commanders in the 1 o'clock window. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to look through the 4 o'clock window and, of course, the Sunday night and Monday night games coming up in Week 2. We'll do that when we come back here on the Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap here on WGR. Happy Friday. We got some college football starting up in just a few minutes. Florida State and Louisville kick things off in just a few moments here on ESPN. I've got that up on the TV. Pretty excited to watch college football as well. Syracuse has been weirdly really good to start the season. I went to a Syracuse tailgate to open up the season. Went with my girlfriend, met some of her family. She's an undergrad from there, so I got to kind of see the campus a little bit. And, like, everyone told me Syracuse was trash. And to be honest, like, I was sitting here, like, as a Buffalo person going, good, that's fine with me. I have no problem with that. And, you know, from years prior, Syracuse was not good at football. And, I mean, they whooped Louisville. They whooped them. And then they played UConn last week, whooped them. And they get Purdue tomorrow at noon. I think I'm going to have to watch that game now. I think I am going to have to watch it. I'm not a surrogate, like, or I'm not like a now a fan of Syracuse, but like I feel like by proxy, I have to kind of be a Syracuse fan. I feel like I have to. I also work with a lot of Syracuse alums, so it might be good if they're good. It might help everybody out in the long run. Flipping it back to the NFL, though, we talked a little bit about the 1 o'clock window coming up for Week 2. I took the Lions over the Commanders, the Saints over the Buccaneers, the Patriots over the Steelers, and the Ravens over the Dolphins. Looking forward to the 4 o'clock window. This is where I'm going to get a little more... Like all of these games, I really like the Lions. Right off the bat, Falcons at Rams. The Rams are a 10-point favorite on some sites, 9.5 on the other. Regardless, I like the Falcons to cover. I don't like them to win. I love them to cover, though. I think the Falcons showed enough for me week one where I thought they can put up a fight against some pretty good teams. They can definitely put up a fight. They won't get steamrolled, I think, by anybody. And the Rams really didn't show me much on week one to make me think that they're going to be this juggernaut in the NFC. I think they'll still probably win around 11, 12 games. But in terms of blowing teams out, I'm not feeling it. I'm really, really not. And, you know, on the Atlanta Falcons side, Marcus Mariota is a safe quarterback. He gets things done. And Drake London looked pretty darn good. And Kyle Pitts is going to be one of the best tight ends in football. He's already showing off his ability. Going through the rest of it, Seahawks 49ers, I want nothing to do there. It sounds like it's going to be another rainstorm. So as a Trey Lance truther, this hurts. Bengals Cowboys, the Bengals are a 7.5-point favorite. I do think they're going to roll the Cowboys. I think they are going to hit the over on that. The Cowboys are playing Cooper Rush. I like the Bengals with the points. I think that could be a 14-21-point win for the Bengals. The Cowboys showed nothing against the Buccaneers before Dak got hurt. Now I'm expecting them to be better now that Dak's gone. Doubt it. Michael Gallup's already out, so it's going to be CeeDee Lamb and a bunch of no-names. And the running backs, who, you know, Tony Pollard's pretty good and Zeke's okay. That does nothing for me, and Cincinnati's going to be pissed after week one. Who wouldn't be if you were on that team? You lost and were embarrassed the entire way through, even with it going into overtime. However, the bet I am really, really excited for is Texans and Broncos. The Broncos right now look to either be a 9.5 or a 10-point favorite going into that game. I think easily the Texans are going to cover. Easily to me. Because kind of likewise, what did Denver do that made me sit there and go, huh, I really think they're going to beat up on a stingy Texans team. Davis Mills, I don't think is a bad quarterback. I don't. I feel like I'm like the one at this station trying to lead the charge, and I let it go every now and then because I'm like, I'm not a Houston Texans fan. I don't even like the franchise. I'm not even a big Davis Mills fan. But he's not bad. He's better than Geno Smith, and Geno Smith had the game of his life against the Denver Broncos. Yes, he made some great throws. It was maybe Geno Smith's best game in the NFL in terms of throwing the ball. He was making some pinpoint throws. But Mills, to me, I think he can do that for the Texans. I think he can do just enough to annoy the hell out of teams. Maybe not win a ton. I think they're still only about a 5-win team at max. But he'll do enough to where I think a lot of the Houston faithful will really, really want him to be the quarterback going forward for the next few years. So I really, really like the Texans. Maybe not to win, but absolutely cover that 9.5-point spread. Continuing on, Bears and Packers. I also like the Bears to cover that 9.5-point spread as well. The Packers, to me, there is no Devontae Adams. And I think that is showing off how important he was for them. Namely, the Packers, there's just nothing there. There is no Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Even Alan Lazard, we're still up in the air about what's going to go on with him, even when he comes back. Christian Watson, I'm a huge truther of him, so like watching him drop the opening play touchdown, it felt like I was watching a family member screw up live on television. Like now, I still love you, but I'm going to distance myself as much as I can. And if anyone asks if we're related, nope, just share the last name. Me and Christian Watson, of course, don't share the last name, but you get the point. Ultimately, I just don't know if the Packers have enough, and I think the Bears might be emboldened just a bit after that Week 1 win to maybe not win, but again, cover. And then, of course, the Monday Night Games, we'll do that real quick. We're going to take a bit of an early break to get you Sean McDermott's interview with the Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio, and Sneaky Joe DiBiase from earlier today. So, of course, looking at the Monday Night Games, the Eagles right now are a 2.5-point favorite over the Vikings, and the Bills are a 10.5-point favorite over the Titans. I am going to take the Eagles to outright win against the Minnesota Vikings. I am, however, going to take the Titans to cover the spread against the Bills. The Titans are a pain in you know what every time the Bills play them. I don't like the Titans this year, but I have to admit, Mike Vrabel is a darn good coach. His teams will rarely ever get blown out. I think the Bills are absolutely better than them. And I still think the Titans are going to lose by less than 10 points. I just do. It's not something I'm proud of, but I think we are going to go into probably the fourth quarter, not stressing out, but going, this should probably be by more. This should probably be by like 14 or 21 points. So I'm going to take the Eagles to win outright, and I'm going to take the Titans to cover that 10-point spread. I am also going to take the Bears to cover their 10-point spread and the Texans to cover their 10-point spread against the Broncos. And I'll also take the Falcons to cover that 10-point spread. That's a little aggressive by me, isn't it? That I think all of these teams are not worthy of that 10 points. That maybe be a little aggressive. I feel like one of those teams is going to get blown out. Now I'm a little more nervous about that. It is what it is. I'm locked into it. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, head coach of the Bills, Sean McDermott, his interview with the Extra Point Show earlier today with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase. That's coming up right here on the Nightcap on WGR.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, we're going to waste no time here in just a moment. We're going to get to Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We welcome you in on a Friday to the Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase here, both in our Amherst studios today. We're going to have to talk about this game last night.
Yep.
You guys did a lot this morning, Chargers-Chiefs.
We will certainly get into
Monday Night
game.
Football with the Bills and the Titans coming up. But in the meantime, right now, we're going to have head coach Sean McDermott. So let's get to that here in just a moment. Go ahead.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Now, here's Sal and Joe with Coach McDermott. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills.
And the head coach of the Buffalo Bills joins us here on the West Her Hotline a little bit earlier than usual. We've been telling people, hopefully you tune in now, but you can always catch it a little bit later as well. If you miss anything, of course, with Sean McDermott, who joins us every week here on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, coach. It's Sal and it's Joe. Good Friday to you.
Yeah, good Friday to you as well. Nice to be with you guys again.
Well, first of all, congratulations on last week's game. I know that we are 8 days out from that game. I mean, it seems like forever ago for a lot of Bills fans after the excitement in L.A. Can you talk about the turnaround? You know, you win the game. It's all this build up to the opening game of the season out in L.A. So much excitement. People talk about it for months. Two really, really, you know, high-profile NFL teams with a lot of expectations. Then you win the game. You come back to Buffalo on the long flight. What was it like to kind of ramp it down and then ramp it back up again?
Yeah, you know, the schedule is different. We're used to these, kind of seven-day, pretty routine-based weeks and getting ready for that game and then the time between that game and this next game was a little bit different than we're used to, but the players needed some rest. Coaches got a little bit of rest as well, and we're back into routine here.
All right, let me just touch on last week real quick, if I can, before we go to this week. Obviously, you did not watch Ozzy like we talked about because you had a great halftime plan that you must have talked about. So I watched Ozzy. You guys put together a plan at halftime. You played well in the first half, but obviously gave the ball away. And I know that's not something you like, but what was the difference in the second half when you guys came out and really kind of took control of the game?
Yeah, I felt really sad that it was a tale of two halves in terms of not necessarily our level of play, but when you take care of the football and you're playing well, you see the results. Whereas in the first half, I thought our level of play, you know, we were playing well, but we were not taking care of the football. And when you do that, it's hard to get the results you're looking for.
James Cook puts the ball on the ground, fumble on his first carry of his career. Did not see much of him after that. He did get back on the field at one point or a couple of different points. How tough a decision is that to make when you're trying to balance what's best for the team, the player, and when it happens on a guy's first carry like that?
Yeah, I never want to see it be on the ground, in particular on a player's first carry, and for him personally, what that could mean mentally. But I thought he did a great job of resetting during the game, and then the coaches handled it well to where, listen, there's going to be a little bit of a learning lesson there, and then we'll get you back out there. So it was good that he did get back out there and kind of dipped his toe back into the water so that he didn't have to spend the next, 8, 10, 12 days, whatever it is in between those games, getting ready for this game here.
So, Coach, I know that we're a day earlier than normal from now to the game, obviously. So the injury situation kind of evolves a little bit differently this week than it normally does. But what could you tell us right now about where Ed Oliver and Tim Settle and even Dane Jackson are, all who have missed practice yesterday?
Yeah, they're all getting better. We'll see where that goes. We'll just continue to take it one day at a time here.
And then tomorrow, I think, would be the final injury designation day. What does the weekend look like for you guys? Just to give fans a sense of, today's normally kind of like your Friday pregame practice, I guess you'd say, maybe a walkthrough on Saturday. What does it look like? Is it just everything's pushed a day out and tomorrow becomes Friday?
Right. So today we're going to have a chance to just kind of do a walkthrough, reset a little bit, and then tomorrow will be our Friday and the following day will be our normal Saturday, the day before the game.
Sean McDermott with us. Let's get to the opponent. It's the third year in a row you've played the Titans, or actually even maybe it's more than that, but they've beat you 2 years in a row, both in Tennessee. Now the game is at home. And given, you know, what you would have just faced with the Rams, it's physicality, right? It's the running back. It's Derrick Henry. It feels like a very different type of challenge for your team with the Tennessee Titans.
Right. They're a good football team. I know they, you know, came out on the losing end the first week against the Giants. Uncharacteristic performance by their team. They are a very good football team, the first seed.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. And Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
As many people know, in the AFC last year in the playoffs, and the talent that they have on the roster on both sides of the ball and special teams, they've got a really good punter with a strong leg, and defensively they have, you know, safeties and defensive line that are very, very good and strong up front. And then offensively, obviously, as you mentioned, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, a 1-2 punch that can make it challenging there. So You know, it's going to be a physical game and a good game to watch, I'm sure, for the fans.
Last week you have Aaron Donald you have to plan for. Oh, by the way, now Jeffrey Simmons shows up at your house, right? I mean, boy, every single week it seems like you're playing these really stud defensive tackles, Coach. You got to have such a great game plan going in against them. Just the challenge of going against a player like that in that front.
Yeah, I mean, they can wreck a game. And so we have to be aware of that, but also trust our players to execute at a high level and then put our players in a position to be successful. It's a challenge. It's a challenge we were aware of in the off season and one that, we've forecasted. It's not just going to be this defensive line. It was, as you said, a week ago, this defensive line, and there will be more during the year that have good rush potential and a potential to change a game plan.
So Von Miller tells us that him and Derrick Henry are the exact same size. And sure enough, I looked it up, and he's right? 6'3", 250. It's amazing. I'm guessing you're not putting Von Miller on the scout team to get your defense ready, but how do you simulate someone like Derrick Henry in practice, Coach? It's almost impossible.
It is. We do the best we can with it. That said, I mean, he's an outlier in terms of the combination of size and speed and you know, it's just something that if you haven't played against it before, against him in this case, it'll be something new for some of our players. But some of our players, since we've played them now, this will be year 5, I believe, in a row, are a little bit more aware of what he brings to the table.
I think when we had you on last year, it was the Monday Night Football theme song that you talked about doing a report for in school.
Yeah, the book report.
So
right.
It's another primetime game. It's Monday Night Football. You must be getting accustomed to it, Sean. I feel like the next Sunday 1 o'clock game, we might have to ask you what it's like to get ready for a Sunday 1 o'clock
That's right.
game.
Yeah.
Well, it's an honor and a great opportunity to play in games like this, in particular at home in front of our fans. I know they'll be fired up. And listen, Tannehill does a lot at the line of scrimmage to get them into the right play, and so we're counting on our fans to make a ton of noise when we're on defense, when he's trying to check at the line of scrimmage on early downs, not just on third down, but on early downs, starting early in the game and then keeping it going throughout the game. So that'll be a key factor for us as our 12th man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think about what the atmosphere is going to be like, Coach. I mean, you know, I've been in there. You've been in that stadium for some great atmospheres in games. But the home opener, Monday Night Football, I mean, it's just got to have a little bit of a different feeling. I'm getting chills thinking about it, what it's going to be like on Monday night. That's going to be pretty cool. I mean, heck, I mean, some of the school districts are giving half days. Now, I understand it's for traffic, but seriously, you're going to have even younger people are going to be there because the game's a little earlier. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they said it was for quote-unquote traffic reasons, but I think it's awesome. Although I am all about education for the kids. Right?
Yeah, wow.
As my college coach once told me, he would hold up his hand and say, hey, remember, education is number one, when really he was holding up a number two.
I love it.
And football is number two, and really he was holding up a number one finger, so... we'll just do that for a day here. How about that?
Wait, was that Coach Laycock who did that? Is that Coach Laycock who told you that? Right.
I won't ask you anything specific about the game last night between the Chargers and the Chiefs, and I'm not even sure if you would have watched it or not, but first Prime Video game, are you streamer savvy? Was that something you'd have to have your kids help you out with to turn on?
You know, and to be honest with you, I looked for the game on television last night when I got home, and I saw on the network was a replay of the Seahawks-Denver game, and I'm like, maybe there's no game this week. That's how, I guess, either A, old-fashioned I am, or B, we've been in this bunker all week trying to prepare, and you don't really get, in tune to the news once in a while, who's playing and what station it's on. And so, yeah, I wouldn't even have known how to get that, to be honest with you. So we don't even have cable at my house. So we just do the old rabbit ears.
Wow.
We watch three stations. That's it.
And probably a very big screen to watch film, right? Like, you gotta have something you gotta go. Yeah, like, do you have one of those old, you know, projector reels where you can just stop it, you know, like with the smoke is flying up? You don't have one of those, right? You actually, it's digital, I think, these days, I would think.
Yeah.
I know you're a little old school, though, Coach. I have to ask.
I invite the players over for, you know, meals once in a while, and I promise them that we won't watch film while they're over there, at least eating at the time, but maybe before or after we watch some film.
That was Bills head coach Sean McDermott earlier today on the Extra Point Show with Sneaky Joe DiBiase and Sal Capaccio. That's going to do it here on the Nightcap here on WGR. Coming up tomorrow afternoon starting at 11, Derek Kramer will have the reins for Sports Talk Saturday, and he'll carry you through the rest of the weekend as we head into Sunday for NFL Week 2. And, of course, it will be Bills game day all day Monday. And that's where you'll find me next at 3 o'clock. I'll be with Schopen the Bulldog as we prepare for the Bills to take on the Tennessee Titans at 7:15 Monday night. So everyone, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night. This has been the Nightcap here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.